Morning, Boone County Board of Supervisors, April 14th, 2020. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
Yes.
Yes.
You need to remove a personnel action for the sheriff.
Okay.
Terry, you belong up there.
Remove. Any other changes? We have an agenda. Department heads and elected officials, Cheryl McVeigh, Boone County Auditor's Office.
Well, the ballots are in for the June 2nd primary. April 23rd, we can start mailing the requests that we've received so far. And so far, we've received 86 absentee ballot requests. The Secretary of State's gonna send a absentee ballot form to all active registered voters. So we're encouraging that people vote by mail because of the virus. And Terry is still working on the safest way to do absentee voting in the office. We may do something outside, she's not sure yet, so she's still working on that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Rodney Buesner, Maintenance.
Good morning. I have an agenda item, personnel action. I want to take this time to thank Tom. Tom's been here a little, about 10 and a half years, so it's been a great asset to Des Moines County and my department, so every position's replaceable, but people aren't. I'm really gonna miss Tom, so thank him for all the help that he's given our department, and he's been a great employee, so gonna miss him.
We will all miss you, Tom.
Yes.
Sure you can go?
I've been trying to talk him out for 6 months, and it ain't working.
I haven't looked at that particular personnel action, and I didn't see if it was actually signed.
Congratulations, Tom.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations, Tom. You have a wonderful retirement. Thank you for all you've done for Des Moines County.
I want to personally thank my supervisor, Rodney, also for making this job a very good job. So he's a great boss.
Tom, I say you've got good work ethics, and you inherited that from your folks.
Yeah, I did.
Yes, you did.
Great retirement. Good luck, Rodney. It'll be tough without him.
Yep, I agree. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Okay, thank both of you. Lisa Hazel, Des Moines County Recorder.
Hello. Just keeping busy. There's only four of us in the office now, and I have an agenda, or the action, personnel action there, but two of us are working from home, and two will be here at the office, and we're alternating, so we've just been kind of keeping busy. The ones at home have been doing a lot of indexing from all of our old records, and here in the office, answering phones, doing what we can for funerals and other people, and just doing the daily work. Just trying to stay safe. And that's about it.
I called your office. I spoke to Natalie yesterday, a young friend of mine's getting married, and she wasn't sure how to go about getting a wedding, a marriage license.
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
So Natalie walked her through it, so
yep.
Thank you very much, and thank Natalie for us.
We were told that people are trying to do marriages online, which I will not do that. People are trying to, you know.
Oh, do the actual marriage?
Yeah, and they said, no, I will not do that. They have to be in person.
No, all we needed was license.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, I'm just talking about.
Yeah,
so.
I remember walking up to that window a long time ago, my little sweetie.
Did she have to hold of you by the ear?
Bob, I've been up that one to three times.
Well, you got me beat. You always got me beat, John.
Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Had a Skype meeting with the DOT this morning, so Bob and I wasn't supposed to be down here, but then that came up, so we decided to do that on part of the 61 Coalition. think that went good. Della did a nice job with it. Construction project update. Lots of stuff going on. I think we're going to be as busy this spring as we've maybe ever been. And so as of yesterday morning, they closed Iowa City Road. So the contractor is in. I think they're hoping to maybe pour some concrete yet this week, just depending on temperatures and if they can get everything ready. So that's moving. Gear Avenue is, we poured mainline concrete for the first time last, it was last Friday. So the hill was poured from the bridge up. And then they poured some yesterday, which they had to insulate last night because of the temperatures, and they pour a little bit more today, and then we'll let that cure out this week, and then eventually we'll start shifting traffic around. Some of the traffic will start going out the new pavement before when we start working to the south. So that is finally getting off the ground. You can see some production. That's kind of nice. So that's moving, and then the bridges started up, and the contractors got two crews in. They've started removing one bridge, and the other bridge won't be far behind. So Mediapolis Road is closed. So I guess if there's one small benefit of most people being home and schools being out and a lot less traffic, clearly, when you close two of your more busy roads in the county for multiple months, that's what we've done, and there's less traffic, and you can tell it. It's clear. So otherwise, we're still hauling rock for our rocking program. We kind of dried out. We got a little bit of rain this week, but it's kind of funny. It's generated a few more calls than normal. Just people are, we rock most roads every other year anyway, but it has generated some calls. I know Tom got one, and so if you guys get some calls, let us know. We'll call them back and let them know, or just talk to them about it. But otherwise, moving along, just try and do what we can and kind of go from there.
A couple questions. I know you said the pavement would go fairly well on Iowa City roads, but still had shoulders and stuff. How long were you looking at? 3 months?
That one, I would say 2 to 3 months on Iowa City Road.
Okay.
And hopefully that's a little long, just depends. But the locals won't be out that long. We're doing everything we can to keep local access as much as possible. But as far as a through route, somewhere in that range. So, okay. And Gears longer. Gears, I think we're looking at closer to 4+ months. But it's a lot more complicated, a lot more houses to deal with. Just a slower project in general. So,
a guy on the phone told me that he was really happy that North Gear Bridge was being taken care of, and I said, "Well," I said, "this is the paving." I said,
yeah.
"I said the bridge is on the 5-year plan, but it's just we're not there yet."
The guys are because we have obviously the road closed and less traffic right at the moment. Today and tomorrow, we are going to do some additional patching on the bridge. So they will actually see an improvement on the bridge, but that's not the permanent job. That's just filling the holes that we have right now. So actually, our crew's out there probably as we speak. We use some extremely expensive epoxy patch, and it's worked out very well. We don't use a lot of it because of its cost, but so we're doing that on that bridge while it's closed and the traffic's down. So,
Mediapolis Road's about 4 months.
4 to 5.
I mean,
if they keep two crews there, then it kind of depends on how their subcontractors come in, but somewhere in that range. They started a little earlier than we had thought, so that equates to ending a little earlier than we had thought. So, because they only have so many working days. I should mention, we also mailed out two bid packages last week. The one is for Upper Flint, and the other is for the intersection at Stars Cave. So those are out, and this week we should mail out the bid package for the Flint Creek Bridge on Highway 99. Cover sheets signed. You guys did that this morning. And I have a tentative bid package I was going to show you guys that we discussed last week a little bit and kind of have all those documents put together. So if everything goes well, we mail those out and we'll advertise with the DOT, and that'll be out there also. So the first two will bid on April 30th, and the second will bid on May 7th. So, and I want to note that Colin worked with us. I appreciate his help on that. We will have that set up so that contractors can stream that on YouTube. So they won't have to be present to be able to see. They won't be able to take part in it, but they can see it, and that's what they really need to do is hear everything. So
good.
Things are moving. A lot of stuff moving.
We've been planning that bridge since I was a young man.
Yeah, it'll be a good one to get moving on. So hopefully we can get good bids.
Thank you, Brian.
Ooh, we got, oh, Colin Gerst, IT, I apologize.
Just keeping busy. I don't really have anything new to report, so.
Okay.
I got Chris Lee from Conservation on here, so.
Okay. Chris Lee, Conservation.
Hi, good morning. Not a lot to report. We're just kind of keeping at what we've been doing, getting some projects knocked out. We've been doing some stuff in the Nature Center and catching up on some field work that normally needs done this time of year. So we got our board meeting that we had postponed the 1st of April. We're going to have that tomorrow evening. It's going to be a conference call, much the same way every other meeting that we're lately. So that's really about it.
Thank you, Chris.
Gina Harden, Emergency Management.
Gina Harden, Emergency
Management. Good morning.
Good morning, Gina.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Did she accidentally mute us on her end?
Gina, we can't hear you. Now I can hear you.
She's still on back yet.
Welcome to WebEx. Enter your access code or meeting number.
I'm going to mute her here. Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning, this is Kent.
Morning, Kent.
We're meeting with our crisis assessment teams this week. They're doing a lot of telehealth, and they do the screening before people go into the crisis homes. And so we just want to, you know, we have our hospitals doing med clearance and everything before they go into a crisis home, and we just want to touch base with them and see how everything's going. I know a lot of things are telehealth right now where people are talking over the phones or over the computer screens, and so the region's going to be talking with all those assessors this week. And they do the mental health screens too, because a person has to have a mental health crisis to go to a crisis home. We also are having contract meetings over Zoom. That continues this week. I and my staff continue to work in the office by telephone and emails and Zoom. So. I have a guy coming out of prison this month, so we're just helping his team to get him the services he needs when he gets out. So just a lot of things going on, but it seems to be working fine to work over the phone and over emails and Zoom.
Thank you, Ken.
Mike Johnstone, Warren County Sheriff.
Mike Johnstone, Des Moines County Sheriff.
Good morning, everyone. Glad to be here. Just to let you know that everything is going well at the SO. We're all healthy, thankfully. Of course, we're limiting access to the SO and the jail, but it's been pretty quiet overall, which we're very thankful for. So we're just continuing on, and I know we're getting more PPE as time goes on, which we're happy for. I actually got a phone call from the hospital yesterday asking if we needed anything. They might be able to supply us with a few things if we needed them. So we're all being very careful and looking to the forward to the end of all this. So, other than that, we're happy to be here.
Thank you, Mike. I think we all share your anticipation of the end of this.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Mike.
Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. I don't have a whole lot to report. We just remain busy working motor vehicle transactions and collection of property taxes through the mail, Dropbox, and online. And we continue to assist with title transfers by phone and email, which is challenging, but the Treasurer's Office staff is doing an outstanding job at assisting the public to get those types of transactions completed. And again, we appreciate the patience of the public. So that's all I have.
Janelle, I know I think I've had a call or two, and maybe the other supervisors have too. People have had trouble finding the phone number for the treasurer's for your office. Is one lady told me it's not in the phone book, or that's where she looked. What would you suggest people?
Go to the Des Moines County Treasurer's website or iowatreasurers.org. Our motor vehicle phone number, 753-8273. And then property taxes, 753-8252. I think there is some confusion with it in the phone book.
Or call a supervisor. I've looked up your number a couple times. Thank you. Thank you, Janelle.
You're welcome.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We're doing well. Our attorneys are splitting time working in office and at home. So thank you, Colin, for getting everyone set up in order to do that. With the help of Rodney, and I'm sure much to the joy of Terry Johnson, we are going to be, since we have all this extra time on our hands for the foreseeable few weeks, we are going to start going through our old files at the courthouse in the basement and plotting through those as to what actually really needs to be retained and what doesn't, and organizing them a little bit better. So thank you, Rodney. Apparently you've already brought over a good dozen to 20 boxes for staff to start going through. So we're going to be working on that project. We have a little bit of extra time on our hands. Specifically, our victim witness coordinators are going to be working on that since they're not doing a lot of witness coordinating right now. Otherwise, we're just plodding along, again, getting ready for when the tsunami hits in probably mid-July. Other than that, we're all doing well, staying healthy, and plodding along.
That's a good thing, staying healthy.
That is good. Thank you, Lisa.
Zach James, Land Use.
Zach James, Land Use.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Can
you hear me? We can. I can only hear you and see you.
Just a couple quick updates. The office had already been closed to the general public, but our staff is now all working from home except for a few people who had to see us. So that's a transition that we're working through, but we'll continue to work as best we can with people over the phone, over the web, things like that. So, so that's been a transition study this week, probably be that way for a few weeks, I'm guessing. But we'll update you guys if anything changes there. Not a whole lot else to report other than we've got an item on the agenda for an appointment in the final vacancy we have on the Board of Adjustment. That's about it.
Zach, are CBUS going to get a big influx of cash from the government?
I think Mike's on the line, and he might be more appropriate or better to answer that question, but I believe we're going to be getting a decent chunk of funding from the feds.
Hey, Bob, it's Mike Norris here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
We will be getting an influx of cash from Federal Transit Administration, and we're looking at just shy of $1 million, and it's in the 900s. So right now, what we're doing is not making immediate detailed plans. We're making immediate general plans for how to spend that money. This may impact our operations and our funding for a couple of years. And so we are just kind of waiting to see what additional guidance is, how our other funding sources change, such as Medicaid. Medicaid makes up about 35% of our funding, and we're doing 80% fewer rides and hours right now. So there's a lot yet to be determined. So we're gonna learn as much as we can about our situation, our fund sources, and the spending constraints. But the CARES Act, as a lot of people saw in paper this morning about bus, actually gives recipients several years to actually spend that money. So we're in a wait and see mode. We will wait and see.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Zach.
Welcome.
The only one we have left, I believe, is Gina Harden, but she disconnected and hasn't reconnected yet, so.
Okay. Let me give a signal when she's back on. We'll take time out. Okay. COVID-19 update. We got, hopefully, the last iteration of the Des Moines County Communicable Diseases COVID-19 policy emailed out last week. That's kind of a work in progress. Hopefully, we've got it taken care of to match the federal laws. I spoke to Gina a little bit yesterday about a grant for Des Moines County for emergency housing to would affect homeless, sort of keep them off the streets and put them in a place where they can be safe and have a smaller impact on the community for the duration of this episode.
This grant, I believe in grants and everything like that. You know, if we're just taking care of our own county residents.
Mm-hmm.
But my understanding is we have a lot of out-of-county residents, surrounding counties, that stay in these places that our taxpayers are going to have to pay for if this grant goes through.
Well, the if they're on our streets, there's not much we can do about it. There was a I believe somebody gave somebody in Illinois a bus ticket a few weeks ago, sent them to Bruin. Once they're here, we want them off the streets. I know that Gina was going to talk to Southeast Iowa Regional Planning about the grant, but and there's some people that are already in hotel rooms. So in this particular circumstance, I'm.
I don't want them on the street either, but
I don't know where they're from. Some of them aren't from here. Like I said, I know at least one of them's from Illinois, and they're from Illinois. There's not much you're going to do.
Not much there.
But there will be discussion of that. But right now, we have them off the street.
If it's a grant, you shouldn't have to worry about it anyway.
Well, the county would probably be responsible for a 15% match.
No. Oh.
So we will wait to see anyway. So and I gave Gina gave her a go ahead. I said this is something we need to do. And when the discussion was had, so I will keep you updated on that. Gina is not there yet, is she? Okay, that's the and I do know they've got the college. Been gracious enough that they, of course, they shut the school down, so they've given us access to the dorms for emergency responders. So if somebody's an emergency responder and doesn't want to go home at night and potentially expose their family, and I
to my understanding, there's at least one person in those dorms now. And we appreciate the college doing that. And we've made preparations for some of those type of situations where or if an emergency responder would get sick, to take care of their family in a hotel room. And I hope none of that comes about, but you're a lot better off making plans for if something like that does happen.
If you're not, you have to be proactive on it, so.
Yeah.
She just reconnected there, but I think she's, her audio is not quite set up yet, so she needs just a moment,
okay.
Another moment,
okay.
Here. So.
Okay. Correspondence. Okay, we have the a reminder from the March 31st, 2020 board meeting. We had a discussion of rural cleanup, and due to the COVID-19, Director Hal Morton requested the county not to hold their spring cleanup. He reported that Beck business has been brisk due to social distancing requirements and everyone staying home. Beck motioned to table the spring cleanup until further notice, seconded by Kerry. Have you heard from anyone out there when this might change?
No.
Okay.
I think it's up to governor or president or somebody.
Okay. He doesn't want to do it until then.
It's a amount of paperwork they have to shuffle back and forth that they don't want to get in contact. So there were a lot of face-to-face contact, and they don't want to lose any employees.
So they're talking about till the restrictions the governor releases.
I would say that's right. When we all feel safe, then they probably would do it. But by then, maybe it'd be time for fall.
Okay. Well, we'll bring this up once every meeting or so. So yeah. People, I've had at least one call, somebody inquiring about that. Okay. Proceed to discussion and vote. We have a Child Abuse Prevention Month proclamation. Whereas in federal fiscal year 2018, 4.3 million reports were made to Child Protective Services, and whereas child abuse and neglect is a serious problem affecting every segment of our community, and finding solutions requires input and action from everyone, and whereas our children are our most valuable resources and will shape the future of Des Moines County, and whereas child abuse can have long-term psychological, emotional, and physical effects that have lasting consequences for victims of abuse, and whereas protective factors are conditions that reduce or eliminate risk and promote the social, emotional, and developmental well-being of children, and whereas effective child abuse prevention activities succeed because of the partnerships created between child welfare professionals, education, health, community and faith-based organizations, businesses and law enforcement agencies and families, and whereas communities must make every effort to promote programs and activities that create strong and thriving children and families, and whereas we acknowledge that we must work together as a community to increase awareness about child abuse and contribute to promote the social and emotional well-being of children and families in a safe, stable, and nurturing environment, and whereas prevention remains the best defense for our children and families. Now therefore, we, the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim April 2020 as National Child Abuse Prevention Month in Des Moines County, and urge all citizens to recognize this month by dedicating ourselves to the task of improving the quality of life for all children and families.
Move to approve the Child Abuse Prevention Month proclamation.
Second.
Cheryl.
Chip Carey.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Broeker.
Yes. I think this is probably timing. There's a lot of people locked in or shut in with their family, and everybody's under a great deal of stress. And stress manifests itself in a number of ways, and a great number of those ways are unpleasant.
Gina Harden's on there whenever you're right.
G.
Gina, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
We can. Thank you.
Awesome. Love technology when it works. a couple things real quick. We're still monitoring the Mississippi River. It is cresting and should be starting to go down below major flood stage, hopefully tomorrow or Thursday. So that is always good news for us. So we appreciate that. And regarding COVID, the Emergency Operations Center is still open daily except for the weekends. We still communicate, obviously, on weekends, but the EOC is not open. I believe Sheriff Johnstone mentioned that we have some personal protective equipment, or PPE, coming, and that is arriving today. So we will get that distributed to the different entities as quickly as we can. The state has been really good about getting it to us quickly. The National Guard is the one has delivered in the past, so we're assuming that they're the ones delivering again today. We are working on a system to track volunteer hours for like the general public that's making the gowns or making masks, etc. I'm trying to work with the state to figure out how we can collect that data, what the volunteers have done, so that local entities that are applying for the public assistance grant can use that as part of their local match, so they don't have to pay the 15% local match as a dollar amount. They can use it as an in-kind contribution. But we're trying to figure out a way to do that and then in turn get it out to the general public. Last thing I have is the Iowa Small Business Relief Grant Program through the Iowa Economic Development as a website that they're putting out information on different entities who have received that grant. And I did send that out to the Emergency Management Commission yesterday, that link. I think they've done like four different grant releases, and there's several businesses in Des Moines County that have received that grant. So I'm hoping that that will help them and help them stay in business. Other than that is all I had.
Couple things. The first, it's my understanding that we had a pallet of 45 cases of hand sanitizer ready for shipping that got hit by those tornadoes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well. Second.
We have sanitizer though,
bait,
but it is not a gel. It is a liquid. So some people don't like it as well, but it obviously still works and it does its job.
Okay, well,
we're getting, but it's just not quite what we wanted. Yeah.
Those people that got impacted by that tornado certainly helped have my sympathy that going through this, and then that's second. The other thing is the grant you and I discussed. The boards asked questions about some of those people being sheltered are from outside Des Moines County. It's my understanding that is true.
I am not 100% certain. I have not talked to Craig with Transitions yet specifically about the grant and the people that he is housing. So I'm not 100% certain. We were hearing rumors to that effect.
That's when I've heard and I'd heard that one of the individuals was from Illinois.
Yeah, I had heard that too, but like I said, I haven't talked to Craig to confirm that.
Okay. Anyway, that was our concern. We certainly don't want them on the streets of Des Moines County, especially during this episode. So any information you had about that would be interesting. And I told the board that I told you that we would, that the county would go ahead with that, and but we would be curious about just exactly who it was, if you can find out.
Okay, I will see what I can find out. Are you interested in how many people are not from Des Moines County also, or?
I guess maybe if you have an idea, you know, if there's 20 people, if five of them are not from Des Moines County or something like that, whatever you can find out. And some of it I suspect is probably easier to discuss than actually found out. But any information you've got would be helpful.
Okay, I will see what I can find out and let you know.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you, Gina. Okay, we have a young house. We have a. Is somebody?
No.
Asking us. Okay.
I don't know what I did.
Okay. We have a young house community development block grant application. Dear Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, Young House Family Services desires to apply for financial assistance from a federal community development block grant, CDBG, which is being administered by the Iowa Economic Development Authority for the purpose of preventing the spread of COVID-19 virus. Young House Family Services desires to equip our staff with the tools and training required to provide high quality mental health, substance abuse, and behavioral health services to our clients via telehealth as a direct result of our recent COVID-19 pandemic. Excuse me. Telehealth is an alternative service delivery method that has the capability to ensure that individuals suffering from anxiety, depression, isolation, or financial strains related to the COVID-19 crisis can receive the services they need from the safety of their home. Telehealth allows us to continue to provide services while minimizing the amount of direct face-to-face contact between clients, staff, and other individuals. Young House Family Services is currently providing telehealth to mitigate the exposure and community spread of COVID-19 with limited resources and inconsistent virtual platforms. Funding from this grant will allow for staff providing direct care services via telehealth services to acquire the telehealth software and hardware, webcams, headsets, supplies needed for conducting telehealth sessions and training to ensure we are providing high quality and confidential individual, family, and group telehealth sessions. Staff would also receive the training needed to send and receive client paperwork electronically and aid clients with how to use the electronic format. Sincerely, Shauna Freitag, Executive Director, Young House Family Services. I believe Mike Norris is on the line.
Yep, still here, Tom. Thank you. Good morning again. I appreciate reading the letter. This is kind of a first step of applying for these funds. What we need to send you guys is a letter of request to IEDA next on county letterhead and signed by the Chair of Board of Supervisors. This is kind of an introductory letter to you to say, hey, this is what Young House is thinking of. And the reason that I'm talking, I'm the president of the Young House board right now. So I saw this opportunity and been working with Shauna Freitag, who is also on the phone. And so I guess what I'd like to see if we could do is have you guys, approve this in concept. And then if we could send you the letter, then we could kind of work on that process in that fashion. Now, there is no local match required for the county. There has been a number of things approved throughout the state, and this may help Young House now and into the future, and our residents provide the telehealth and prevent the face-to-face contact that we're all trying to avoid.
Thank you, Mike. Do you gentlemen have any questions?
No.
Shauna Freitag is on here as well if she has any comments.
Shauna, do you have any comments? This is Shauna Freitag.
Yes, I am here. Can you hear me?
We can.
Great. I want to echo one thing that you had mentioned earlier, Tom, in regards to the child abuse. This is Child Abuse Prevention Month. I'm participating in a number of statewide calls we are very concerned equally here at Young House about what's going to happen with child abuse numbers once this is lifted, or even currently. We have seen a major influx of returning clients calling and begging for services, either due to anxiety, depression, isolation, in addition to a bunch of new clients. And we do have permission through Medicaid to provide those services via telehealth through the end of the year. So this would help us tremendously have a platform that has confidentiality, HIPAA requirements. So I appreciate the opportunity to apply for this, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you, Shauna.
Absolutely.
We probably need a motion to approve this concept.
Okay, I'll give it.
Second.
Cheryl?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. The telehealth isn't a new concept. Mental Health and Disability Services have been using it. For rural areas, it's a way to get increase your psychiatric services, so you get to you can get psychiatric services through telehealth. So and it also matches the social distancing requirements. So I think that sounds like a good deal. We have an appointment to the Des Moines County Board of Adjustment. Whereas the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors approves appointments to the Des Moines County Zoning Board of Adjustment, and whereas Randy Burgess has expressed interest in serving to fill the position recently vacated by Chris Roberts just prior to the expiration of her term in November 2019, now be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors hereby appoints Randy Burgess to the Des Moines County Zoning Board of Adjustment with term to expire in November 2024.
Move to approve.
Second.
Cheryl?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Tom, Jared was on the line here. I think he wanted to make a comment on that as well.
Jared?
I wanted to address the situation behind this, how this position, Chris Roberts had served on the board since 2010, I believe. And there was a lapse there for a couple of years where there weren't any meetings. So when we had our meeting last fall, that was when Chris had informed us that she was in the process of moving outside the county. So we were unable to fill that by the time that her term had expired. So we therefore it's essentially we're considering this the start of a new term. I want to thank Dave Newbold, who actually was reappointed, I think it was a couple weeks ago. He's been on the board for a long time, and it was actually he who had recommended Mr. Burgess. I had asked if he knew of anybody living in the south 2 mile zoning area that might be interested, and he's an acquaintance of Mr. Burgess, and suggested we reach out to him. And the interesting thing is that he brings the perspective of not only a resident residing in the 2 mile area. But he also works at the Ideal Ready Mix facility, formerly Shipley, on 61, which is probably one of the shortest commutes I'm aware of. He lives right down the road from there, basically. But being both a homeowner and someone who operates a business in the 2 mile area, that gives some good perspective. So again, thanks to Dave Newbold for that recommendation, and we appreciate Mr. Burgess and his willingness to serve on the board.
Thank you, Jared. We have a resolution setting the time and date of the fiscal 20 budget amendment hearing. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors hereby fixes the time and place for a public hearing on the fiscal year 20 budget amendment for Tuesday, April 28, 2020 at 9 a.m. in the boardroom at the Des Moines County Courthouse. The Des Moines County Budget Director is hereby directed to publish the notice. An estimated summary is required by law. This resolution shall take effect immediately.
Move to approve.
Second.
Cheryl.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have personnel actions. We have one for Des Moines County Conservation. We have Marcus Knack, a new hire naturalist. The new rate is $39,254.79.
Move to approve.
Second.
Cheryl.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have three personnel actions for the Correctional Center. We have Nicholas Jeffries, full-time sergeant, correctional officer, a six-month step increase. The previous rate was $46,012.68 a year. The new rate is $48,949.66 a year. We have Michael Hayes, a full-time correctional officer, 24-month step increase. Previous rate was $40,396.34 a year. The new rate is $41,191.09 a year. And we have Bradley Koenig, a full-time correctional officer, a 24-month step increase. Previous rate was $40,396.34 a year. The new rate is $41,191.09 a year.
Move to approve.
Second.
Cheryl.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have one personal action for the county attorney. Haley Hamilton, Clerk 1, a 12-month step increase to $32,741.56.
Move to approve.
Second.
Cheryl.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have one personnel action, sad personnel action for maintenance. We have the retirement of Tom Nelson, lead maintenance.
Move to approve with regrets. Rodney's losing a good man.
He is. Somebody's going to have to second him because he's not. He's otherwise he's going to leave without it.
Nice try, Bob.
Okay, Cheryl.
I was lost for
Jim
water.
Carrey.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Thank you again for us, Rodney.
I remember when he was a little fella running around Minneapolis.
And we have one personnel action for the reporter. We have a letter. Dear Lisa Hazel, I am writing to announce my resignation effective 2 weeks from this date. This was not an easy decision to make. The past year and a half have been very rewarding. I've enjoyed working with you and with my coworkers. Thank you for all the opportunities for growth that you have provided me. I wish you all the best. If I can be of any help during the transition, please don't hesitate to ask. Sincerely, Renee Wellborn. We have a resignation of part-time clerk Renee Wellborn from the recorder's office.
Move to approve.
Second.
Cheryl.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
I would like to say something.
Okay.
Renee was an excellent worker and is really going to be missed. But she had moved on for a full-time job, and I wish the best for her. She was an excellent worker.
Okay, well.
Sadly missed.
She, give her our best wishes.
I will.
We vote.
Yes.
Okay. Hi. That's a scary question. Okay, we have minutes for the regular meeting of April 7th, 2020.
Move to approve.
Second.
Cheryl?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Any other business?
I have none.
I have none.
I have none. Future agenda items?
I have none.
I have none. Committee reports?
I have none.
Had a Highway 61 meeting we met last week to go over the presentation, as you heard Brian say, and we traveled to Ames this morning, gave the presentation. Delva Schmidt did it, did a very nice job. It was, the chairman of the board even commented on her good presentation. Sweet, short, sweet, to the point, what they like. And that's because Dan Wiedemeyer has coached us all the way along, and we appreciate what Dan does. I think that's it.
We had an electronic meeting of the Southeast Iowa Link Mental Health and Disability Services Region, and our first online meeting. Went well anyway, and we approved claims and discussed some of the issues COVID-19 is creating for mental health providers. And I've been attending daily meetings of the Emergency Operations Center that were issues facing Des Moines County for, you know, we're gonna get some, like Gina said, some PPE supposed to be delivered today. We lost about 8,000. Well, we hadn't paid for it. We hadn't delivered it, but a bunch of hand sanitizer that was going to go to everybody. So I'm sure they're scrambling for that. That's all I have. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to make a comment or ask a question, there is a phone number or an email address on the agenda, and we will wait 2 minutes to give anyone a chance to add any comments they'd like.
This is the longest 2 minutes.
Sit and watch your clock.
Yeah, Robert.
Gave you a chance to wash your hands 6 times.
Yeah.
I have washed my hands more times in the last month than my wife in the last year.
I use so much hand sanitizer that they're drying out, but you know.
My doctor sent me some stuff because mine did that too.
Yeah.
So some sort of hand lotion, I don't know what she calls it.
I heard a guy say he washed his hands so many times that the numbers he had put on there for the answers to the quiz he took in high school was to show him by something.
You know, I will say I haven't been out much. I do get out and get in the car and drive out in the country or someplace like that and then go back home. But we drove around Burlington the other day, and you just don't see many people out like you did, you know, when it's nice. And that's good. The social distancing really is helping.
We try to make a point of going out and getting supper and support some local businesses.
Yep.
And for the carry out. Yep. I know they're feeling a pinch. They have to be.
I've done that myself. Had some delivered. I haven't, and I know there's people complaining that they see people, but, and I've done that, you know, driven around grocery stores and stuff, and I have not seen that many people. I've seen once in a while you drive by a grocery store and there's a number of cars there, but
you know, I just don't see groups of people. Okay, that's 2 minutes is up. Without any objection, we will adjourn. We're adjourned.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Without objection.
Y'all stay safe.
Why did my Skype leave me today when I was in that DOT meeting?
What's that, sorry?
I had Skype. I was on Skype listening to the DOT.